The Lord is faithful to you wherever you are right now. I want you to understand that. In every storm, He is still there. We talked about that this morning some, that we will pass through the storm. In the moments of darkness, He is still the light. In moments of our sickness, He is still the healing. In moments of discouragement, He is still the encourager. In moments of unanswered questions, He still is the answer. God is faithful. God changes not. And God is readily available anytime we need Him. The Bible says that He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. Present help, right now. Not later, not yesterday, not used to be, not sometimes, not part-time, all the time. He's a present help in our time of trouble. And we hear people say, we don't like going through storms. Nobody likes going through battles. But when we come through that, how many times do we hear people say, it taught me something, I was shaped, I learned, I was molded, I'm wiser, I'm different. Because there's a chiseling process that goes on as we keep our faith in Christ. We're reminded of how faithful He truly is. After our church today, we had an issue at home with the plumbing. We had to go handle that. And then we got a late lunch, and our server came to the table, young man in his 30s. He's a delightful young man. He had given his heart to the Lord last year. He's about 34 years old. And he wanted to give his testimony, share it with us, about how God had changed him, how God had really changed him. He said, I did a lot of wrong things and bad things. I wasn't making the right choices, living life for myself. And he said, I was started reading my Bible. I'm at my home by myself reading the Bible. And he said, I felt this overwhelming presence just like come in the room with me, overwhelming presence. And I love what he said. He said that him and his mother was raised Catholic. His grandma, actually. It was his grandma. His grandma's 90 years old and told him, said, grandson, I think we're missing something. At 90 years old, I think we're missing something. And they began to read Scripture, began to listen to other ministers. I think they mentioned Charles Stanley, some other ministers like that. Again, listen to that in the Bible. And he gave his heart to Jesus. And he's now helping with youth at his church, teenagers, teaching them the things of God. But the testimony he had was so encouraging that God is still in the saving business. God is still in the moving business. God is bigger than Ryder or U-Haul. He's bigger. And praise God, it's raining. I got y'all now till it stops. Hallelujah. We're starting raining just in time. He is still moving among the earth. He is still writing names down in the book of life. And that's what we'll talk about tonight, that your name is written in the book if you are a Christian. And boy, that's a wonderful thing. And this book has seals on it. And we are sealed in His book forever. And when our time comes and the seals are popped, there we are to be found as His children. And man, I'm thankful. It's better to be in the book of life than any other achievement or accomplishment you could ever have in this world, is to know I'm in the Lamb's book of life. You know, we go through a lot of battles and a lot of storms. And me and Mel talked this afternoon about different things. And, you know, I'm just so thankful this is temporary. I'm just so thankful this journey. We can enjoy life day by day, knowing that day by day we're closer to the final arrival of where we're destined to be. And that's the beautiful thing of our salvation, is we're journeying through, we're traveling through, and we can enjoy life a lot more if we realize this doesn't define us and this isn't where we're going to remain. We are just journeying along step by step to that final destination. So we'll talk about that. We're going to start in Luke. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and you'll see this is Jesus speaking here. And what had happened, he had sent his 70 people out from among him to heal the sick, cast out demons, and to lay hands and do the work of the gospel and preach Jesus to all those. 70 people went out to do that. In verse 10 here, it says, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents. And this does not mean to handle rattlesnakes in a West Virginia church. Just to clarify that. I'm not talking about picking up snakes. It's talking about we have the power over the enemy. We have power to tread on scorpions, serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Look at the next verse. Notwithstanding in this, though, Jesus is saying, don't get too excited about that. I mean, that's good. Don't rejoice that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's what we should be counting on joy. That our names are written in heaven. Not that there's miracles here and there's power we have and there's great things in life that we see here. But don't count it all joy because I got to listen to you. Count it more joy that you're written in my book. Count it more joy that you're going to spend eternity with me as overcomers forevermore, always. Count that joy. That should be what we count joy. That should be something we experience every day. My name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is the day the Lord hath made. My name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank God for that. Yes, there's miracles, but my name's written down. Yes, I've got joy and peace, but my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The devil can't take that away or erase that or wipe that out. God has put it there through his blood, and it is stamped there forevermore. I'm in the Lamb's Book of Life, and nothing can change that. That's a glorious thing to be excited about, to know that, man, trials are here. I mean, some of us are, you know, there's some of us halfway home. Some of us are over halfway home, in the natural, I mean. And some of us, even if you're a kid, the years are short. It wasn't long ago I was Ashley's age. I remember very well being 10 years old, double digits. I remember. It's a great time of my life. Seemed so young, I had my whole life ahead of me. And here I am now, I'm 10 plus 10 plus 10 plus 10 plus 2. So if y'all can't track that, then we'll move on. So time rolls on. And here I am now at a point in my life like, wow, man, goodness. And you start looking a little more at the old retirement place, don't you? You start looking at, man, is there more after this? There's got to be more, man. I've raised kids. I've been married. I've struggled. Good God, there's got to be something after this. And there is. And this is why. That a child of God, when it comes their time, I've been in rooms when people have passed away or right at passing away, and there's a peace if they're aware of what's going on. There's a peace to let go. There's a peace just to let go because God is ushering them into that next place, and it's so much more magnificent than what anything can compare here. The Bible speaks of that, and so Jesus and my disciples, look. Count it all joy that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life or written in heaven because you've got eternity with me. Just like the thief on the cross did. Whenever he turned to Jesus and says, remember me? He goes, today you will be with me in paradise. See, there's two thieves had a choice. And here we are today in the world, right? We have choices. One thief cursing, snaring Jesus, you know, get us off his cross. You the Almighty God, just zap us down. You say you're Lord, come on. And the other crook said, look, we deserve to be up here. He don't. Leave him alone. Quit harassing him. He's a good man. You know, what are you doing? And he looked at him and says, Lord, will you remember me? I know I've done a lot of wrong things, but is there a chance for me? Two hearts, one that was hardened and rebellious, one that was humble and surrendering. And the one that humbled himself before Jesus, he says, today you'll be with me in paradise. What was he saying? That yes, I'm going to remember you. And yes, I'm writing your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life because you have shown repentance. And you're asking for my help. The other one died in his rebellion, in his anger, in his blasphemy of rejecting that truth. And so we are in a world today that truth comes. Do we accept it? Do we reject it? We live our lives for ourselves, church. We'll find out it brings nothing but sorrow and misery, and there's no hope for tomorrow. But if we live our life in Christ, there is hope for today and hope for tomorrow. Forevermore, there's hope. Because my name, right now, your name, right now, think about this. I mean, I know it's we're talking spiritually, but really think about this. Picture a natural book. Natural book. And we want to find out if 10 sigmas in there. So let's find the S's. I'll let you know, Tim. Hang on. Let's see. Samson, Sigmor, Sigmund, Ralph Sigmund. Here's a tip. No, that's Tom Sigmund. I don't see a Tim Sigmund. We'll have a doctor call Brother Foreclose. But here we are. And we go down the book. Oh, there it is, Bubba Sigmund. I found it. So here we go. And there is Tim's name sealed in the Book of Life. And so what happens? It stays there. Right, forever. It remains in that Book of Life. until it's time for the seal to be popped and for Tim to come home. Here it is, sealed. Imagine that. Imagine your name fit naturally in a book being written, "You are mine forever, Jesus, James Lewis, Melanie Lewis, Stacy Wallace, Ivy Sigma." There's my name, Joe Brown, Sharon Brown. There's our names. And they're sealed and they're written, not because we did anything, but because the blood signed our signature in this book. And we can have hope and assurance, not because of our works, but because of His work at Calvary, once and for all, the final sacrifice needed forevermore. I had a chance to witness to someone today. I'm driving the church van, picked up five people today, and one of them was going back home, and one of them said, "You know, I was raised a little," not because of my message, because of someone else that he was talking to. He says, "You know, I was raised different than so-and-so." He was talking about one of his friends. And said, they were raised once saved, always saved. I just don't believe that. Well, at first, I kind of just thought, okay, I'll let that go. But then something rose up in me. I'm like, I can't let that go. I said, let me talk to you about that. I said, I kind of know where you're coming from, because, you know, I was raised in a manner too that, you know, a little bit that, you know, a lot of it had to do with how we lived our lives, whether we stay saved or not. But I said, if your works can get you to heaven, if what you do can either get you out of heaven or get you into heaven, then why did Jesus come? What was the blood for? And I said, I'm not talking about it. I know people use that awful flip, once saved, always saved. And I don't like that expression necessarily, because it sounds kind of flip, once saved, always saved. And I said, I'm not talking about someone that just makes a profession, lives their life with the devil and don't change, just says, I've been saved. But I told him, I said, for a person that's really been born again, that's really accepted Jesus, and their life has changed, I said, I believe that's forever. And that's secure. Even when we mess up, that's secure. And I used an example. I said, do you really believe if you smash your finger, said a cuss word, and lightning hit you and you died, you go to hell for that? He didn't say anything. I'm like, you're operating under works, not under grace. If I could do it myself, Jesus would never need to come. So I said, I do believe that once you're really born again, you're born again forever. You cross into His grace forever. And that's been misused a lot. I realize that. It's been misused a lot because of high-pressure churches. I've been there. High-politic churches. Man, they got you sign a membership card before you even say the prayer of salvation. And you're at the altar. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Say this prayer. I believe in Jesus. Forgive my sins. Hallelujah. And they're spiritual for about 30 minutes. Then you see them in the same places on Monday night, saying the same words on Tuesday night, with the same women on Wednesday night, watching the same movies on Thursday night. And here's their reasoning. Well, I went to the altar, and the preacher said, I said the sinner's prayer. So he told me, the preacher, church, if somebody's got to tell you born again, nothing ain't happened. Can I be honest with you? Somebody's got to tell you been born again? You mean I've been born again? Yeah. Oh, okay. Nobody tells you, man. You know when you've been born again. Because something happens to you. Your spirit changes. Something happens. Your desires used to have go away, and you live different. You talk different. You act different. You're just different, man. You walk different. Your expression, your glow, everything's different. Nobody has to tell you. I was 9 years old when I went to the altar and gave my heart to Jesus, and I did not have to go back to my parents. They were there that night under the tent revival I got saved under. And I did not go back to my mom and dad and say, I think I got saved, didn't I? I knew what happened to me. I was 9, and I'm in tears, and I felt the presence of God come into my life. I knew God had changed me. That's what born again is. Now, have I sinned since I was 9 years old? Yes, I sinned 3 times since I've been 9 years old. I've sinned a bunch. And sometimes I liked it. Let's be honest. Because the flesh likes it. And for that moment, we get caught up in it, and then we're like, oh my gosh, what have I done? And that's not who I am. And no, God forgive me. It never meant I was lost. Because I'd really been born again. And when I was 9 years old, getting saved in Wilkes County in the middle of a field, my name went in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it was sealed
until my day of redemption. So I can rejoice in my salvation. I can celebrate my salvation. I can boast about my salvation. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. Yeah, but you, it don't matter what. I'm saved and my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And quit pulling me down, you religious zealot. I'm going to enjoy my salvation. You just want to keep pulling me down. You know, I put a comment, and it kind of bothered me. I told Melanie about it. And it's where people are. And maybe you're here. Don't get offended. I'm just saying. I put a comment on Facebook the other day. A lot of you saw it. And it was a pretty stern thing God had gave me. I just was starting to type out the Spirit. And it was, you know, talking about living right and this. And someone told me, says, man, I like that kind of preaching. I like some hell and brimstone. You preach that way more, I'd come see you. They don't go here. I'm like, so if I preach more hell and brimstone, you come hear me. Okay, really? And I'm sitting there thinking, my God, I mean, I understand there's a hell. We talk about that. But my Lord. And I don't understand why people are, I mean, this person was smiling about it. That was good. I like hell and fire and brimstone. Just cheesing, okay? But understand, it is the love of Christ and the grace of Jesus and his mercy that rescued us from hell. It's because of the cross, because of the blood that was shed that forever changed our lives and changed history. I thank God I don't have to try to get out of hell on my own. I thank God it's not based on me appearing before God and listing my merits. I thank God that all he has to do is crack open the book, James Lewis, you're mine because the blood was shed and you accepted my sacrifice. I'm written in the Lamb's Book of Life forever and ever and ever, as Travis says, Randy Travis, amen. Forever and ever, amen. Remember that song? I'm written forever in the Lamb's Book of Life. Go to the next verse. This is Revelations. Y'all like Revelations, right? I'm just going to read through some of this, Jeremy. Just follow along with me as I'm reading. Revelations chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of their God in their foreheads. What is it talking about? Sealing those by grace that he's called. Us having the mind of Christ. Us accepting his truth. Now, there's a lot of teaching on this, and I'm not going to even try to get in that tonight. One thing, it's not the right timing, and the second thing, I'm just not that smart. But I will say this. This, what it's talking about right here, sealed, the seal of God in their foreheads, is not a tattoo that says G-O-D. And everybody's walking around, G-O-D, you got me? G-O-D, you got me? It don't say that. It's not talking about a natural mark that over here. He is talking about our minds being like Christ. He's talking about us receiving truth and knowledge and us being his seed and his children. And so these four angels are about to bring judgment or allow judgment from God to come. And this angel says, stop it. Wait. Wait until all the servants of God wait. The only reason, church, we are still where we are is because these angels are holding back the wind. This is what John was seeing. Understand this. Think about the world we live in. How can it still survive? And I know that nobody likes hearing this. I know nobody likes hearing, you know, people get mad at me even here when I start preaching on certain things. That's okay. It's what it is. But when we live in a society where, you know, we have sexual promiscuity just so open and natural and no big deal. You know, we've got everybody living for themselves and doing what they want. And I don't care what anybody says. Yes, there's always been sin. The oldest profession in the world, as we all know, is what? Prostitution. Yeah. The oldest, that's always been. You know, sexual sin's always been. But we have progressively and speedily got worse and worse and worse. And so how can God keep allowing this to happen? I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed for immorality and sin. Are we any better than Sodom and Gomorrah? I don't think so. Worse. Yes. I would say we're probably worse. And here we are, still alive, earth still turning, sun still rising, we're still breathing. Why? Because here's God saying, hold off. I've still got more to call. I'm still, my grace is still open. The ark door is still wide open. I'm still waiting. I'm still speaking. I've still got a seed yet to be saved. And so we know things are eventually, that door is going to be closed. Eventually his kingdom will be established. Eventually judgment will come. But not yet. Go to the next verse. And I heard the number of them that were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000, all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, 144,000 been a great magical number, right? Jehovah Witnesses get this number, and they've changed that now. I think they figured out there's probably more than that in heaven after, 2,000 years. So they've changed that, and they don't teach that doctrine anymore quite the same. But for a long time, they taught that doctrine. There was only 144,000 actual people who was going to be in heaven. Well, the Bible's clear here. It says that it is of the tribes of Israel. How many tribes were there in Israel? 12. 12 times 12 is 144,000. This is symbolic of saying that there will be national salvation for Israel. That's what it's talking about. That there's going to be not maybe everyone, of course, but there's going to be national salvation. And the tribes of Israel, out of those tribes of Judah and Gad and Benjamin and all those tribes, that their salvation has come, and they are there, and they're a part of God's kingdom. They're there. Then it goes on to say this. Oh, well, skip on down, Jeremy. Just talk about the tribe of Judah, 12,000, Asher, 12,000, all them, Manasseh, Simon, Joseph, Benjamin. Now, look at this. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations. Not just white America, right? All nations. All kindreds, all people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Every nation, every language, every tongue is going to be part of the kingdom of God. Talking to the Gentile world, the Jews are going to be saved. The Bible is clear on that. That the Jews and Israel is going to be saved. There's a people and a remnant out of Israel that's going to be saved and already is with God, and there will be future ones that are saved. But then it stretched out the Gentiles, those outside those 12 tribes, those outside Israel, all of us, every other nation, every other tongue, that's us. Aren't you glad God didn't limit his grace to one nation or one people or one color of skin or one language, but it is unlimited to every single person that would call upon his name? Hallelujah. I got a call this week on my cell phone. It might have been a scam, I don't know, but it was interesting anyway, from a guy in India. It might not have been a scam because he sent me an email too, but I don't know. Didn't want no money, but here's what he said. They have a church in India called Living Word of something, and I could barely understand it because of his Indian accent. But says, I'm a pastor of a church here in India called Living Word something. Saw your website, Living Word, and thought we could just fellowship and pray and talk together and, hear someone thousands of miles away, language different, culture different, and serving the same Jesus I am. That's a wonderful thing. And we want to put people in a box and think, well, they won't be saved or they can't be saved. But here we see around the throne, every nation, every tongue, every language was around the throne. The grace of Jesus is extended to every single person and available to every single person. I don't have to be born Jew to be special to God. I don't have to be born white to be special to God. I don't have to be born man to be special to God. I don't have to be born Republican or Democrat to be special to God. I don't have to speak a certain language to be special to God. I'm special to God, and so is every other person he made and created. They're special to God. They have Bibles now in hundreds of translations. And can you imagine someone that cannot speak English, someone in foreign countries, German or French or Spanish or, Italian or whatever, Japanese, Chinese, reading this same Bible in their language. Think about a Chinese man opening to John 3:16 and in his language seeing For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In his own language, he calls upon Jesus. In his own language, that ministers to him. And the same Jesus that he speaks in Chinese is the same Jesus I speak in English. It's the same Master, the same Lord, the same Creator, and the same Redeemer. And as he bows his head to ask this Jesus to come into his life, different language, different culture, different color of skin, different country, different barrier, all of a sudden it becomes part of the same family I'm in and the same family you're in. All over the world, people are coming to Jesus. And around the throne, John sees this revelation that there's people that no man can number. Endless sea of people that are around the throne of God. And cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." And one of the elders, now this is where it gets interesting. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from?" Next verse. He said, "Sir, thou knowest." He said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." We are going to come out of tribulation. To me, this speaks, it could be two ways. A lot of people teach an actual tribulation that we will endure as Christians here on the earth. And another, to me, another point of view of this is that we will walk in out of this tribulated earth. We will walk in still, apart from death, into the promised land. Just like the Bible says, there'll be a people that will not go by the way of the grave, but that will remain and be alive and be caught up with him. So I believe God is going to take people out of this tribulation, that we will walk one day in this earth, and when we know it, we'll be transformed without death, without a burial, and without a funeral. But we will be rescued out of our tribulation, clothed in white, through the blood of the Lamb. Only through the blood of the Lamb. That's how we're clothed white. Where do they come from? Where all of a sudden, where do these people come from? They've crossed over. You know, Enoch translated, and that was years and years ago. You remember Enoch? He translated. I mean, he's a chariot of fire, and Elijah. Chariot of fire, come down. Man, wouldn't that be nice, Tim? You on your tractor, doing your garden, you know, you just, you know, thinking about all the good things God's done, you plowing. All of a sudden, what's that up in the sky? It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. And so all of a sudden, whoosh, that tractor goes up. And boom, like the Back to the Future when the car, you know, evaporated, got to 88 miles an hour, and then whoosh, it is gone. There's a tractor. All of a sudden, old Kent's over there mowing the yard. He sees Tim. He waves. Next thing, all he sees is a trail fire. Whoosh, where'd that boy go? Goes, knocks on the door. Ivy, where's your daddy? I don't know. He went plowing, didn't come back home. Gone. No trace, no bones. No, he's gone. I mean, can't be found. This is what happened to two of the prophets of old. God just translated them. They didn't see death. God took them out of their tribulation and placed them in the kingdom. And that's going to be us. There's a generation that's going to come out of this tribulation and be translated on this side and walk into the kingdom. There's a season coming for God's people. I don't know if we're a part of that generation, but there will be one that sees that. And the chariot of fire is going to come again and swoop us into his kingdom and transform us forever. That's my hope, because the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. That's good preaching. I don't care what you say. As the old redneck comedian says, that's funny. I don't care who. I don't think it's funny. Therefore, are they before the throne of God, serving him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. There shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. This is a vision John saw of a day yet to come. And folks, there's going to be a day each of us that are in Christ will experience this. That we will be around the throne and all of our tears wiped away because our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because the blood of Jesus made it that way. He washed our sins away. We no longer stand before God in a state of imperfection, but He sees the perfect. If people could get this message, that there's so many Christians that don't want to let go of their hell and works message. When you look at Joe Brown, and Sharon, I know, sees imperfections because that's her husband. And there's imperfections she sees every now and then. He's not always, you know, he's not a perfect man. He's pretty close. If he's born in the South, he'd be a little closer. But he's a pretty good guy. Man, the guy that came to our work this afternoon on our plumbing, he has such a New York accent, it's like a different country. I can hardly understand him. I'm like, man, that's the thickest accent I had to really listen. It didn't sound like Curly on Three Stooges. It's an accent. I'm like, good Lord. Anyway, when Sharon or anybody else with a Joe Brown, we see imperfections, you know? I mean, I don't, Joe, but maybe they do. See imperfections. But when God looks at you, He sees the perfect sacrifice in your life. He sees the blood. He sees Jesus in the cross. And that makes you perfect in the eyes of God. Man, Christians don't understand that because we've been beat down with this message of you better hang on, you better do right, you better not do this, you better not do that. And we live this life just bounced around trying to, you know, Lord God, who knows if He's going to make it? Anybody going to make it? I don't know. But when God looks at us, if we've been covered by the blood, He sees perfection. God sees perfection. Because the only way we can see God is to be perfect according to the law. And none of us could. Jesus fulfilled the law. And now when He looks at us, He sees His perfect son, Joe Brown. Does Joe know all the mistakes and sins? Of course. But it's not held against him. He's free and innocent. He's declared righteous and justified because He's perfect in the eyes of God. Man, that should be our walk in God, to know, Lord, You see me as perfect because of the sacrifice, not because of me. I'm so far from perfect. But You see the blood that was spilt, and that covered my sins. My debt's been paid. I've been forgiven. See, if we've been forgiven, how can God hold anything against us? He can't. I'm not forgiven because of what I've done. I'm forgiven because of what Jesus did. I only wear a white robe because of the blood of the Lamb that was spilt for me. Oh, the blood that washes me. Oh, the blood that set me free. Oh, the blood that is my victory. There's power in that. It makes us perfect in the eyes of God. Not in the eyes of man or ourselves, but in the eyes of God. Because no other way we can enter the kingdom unless there's that sacrifice that's been made. You know, we live our lives letting the devil influence us spiritually, telling us that we're not good enough. And guess what? We're not. But Jesus was. And we're in Him, and He's in us. It's kind of like when you look at Ivy's face. Who do you see when you see Ivy's face? See Daddy. That's a Tim face. Look at everybody, Ivy. she didn't have the blonde hair and the girl, but that's a Tim face. When you see Ivy, you see her father. When y'all see me, don't you see my dad in me? Can y'all see my dad in me and my mom? But you can probably see my dad and my man, so sometimes that, you know, it's a little different. Melanie swears that, not swears, but she says, when we're on the beach and I'm walking like toward the ocean, you know, on the beach, my back, she's, you know, I look like my dad. So I can't even tell the difference, Harley. We reflect our natural family. I saw your pictures on Facebook, Polly. That was so precious of your family. And you and your little girl and your dad. Oh, my gosh. I know. We always have hair at one point. But I'm like old Job. I came out of mama's womb naked with nothing. I'll go back with naked and nothing. But beautiful picture of your family when y'all were little and they were young. It's just, it's amazing. And I can still see that little Paula, that little girl with the dark hair. I can tell that was you in the face. I can still tell. You were, what, 6, 7 years old in that picture? Dark hair, but I can see you in that face. We reflect our parents. And so when God sees Joe Brown, he sees his son. I see Jesus. I see the blood. I see me. Because Joe's in me. That's my boy. As the old bulldog on Looney Tunes says, right? That's my boy. I love that. He was so proud of his little puppy. Come on, Spike. That's my boy. Love that. That's how God feels. That's my boy. That's my girl. That's my child. That's my son. That's my daughter. Don't let people beat you down, especially religious people. Man, they'll beat you down and make you feel so unworthy and so lost. I mean, you'll feel good going shopping at a grocery store, running one of them religious nuts, and you'll leave thinking, are you lost or saved? And don't be ashamed to stand up and say, look, I'm saved. Oh, how do you know you're going to make it? Because I know, because Jesus died for me. Yeah, but you still sin. That makes you a sinner. No, it doesn't. It makes me the righteousness of Christ Jesus. My sin nature is being covered by his nature. But don't you still make mistakes? I do. Well, what if you die in that mistake? Where do you go? I go to heaven. That's awful arrogant. No, that's the word of God. I'm sealed in the Lamb's book of life. God never told me to live perfect. He told me to follow him and to give my life to him and accept him as Lord. Confess with my mouth, believe in my heart that he is Lord and I shall be saved. Thank God for that. That's the gospel message. Don't let people pull you down. I mean, like that guy in the van, he'd been taught his whole life. And I said, man, look, and I was going to be silent, but it rose up in me. I said, I told him about the ministry when I prayed. I said, when I started this church, I was a little torn because I wanted to preach salvation the right way. And I began to pray. I said, God, salvation, can I lose it or can I not lose it? Talk to me. And the Lord spoke to me so clearly, says you weren't saved by good works. You can't be unsaved by bad works. And when he spoke that to me, before I started his ministry, I had my confirmation. I got you, God. I hear you. It's all you, not me. I'm secure in your grace. And boy, that gives us power. And the devil don't want nobody to. That's why, I mean, man. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. You know, I know we preach and we teach hell. There is a hell. I believe that. There's a place of torment, a place for the lost go. But we shouldn't preach in a way that fear saves people. We preach in a way love saves people. I mean, you know, fear is not going to last. You can try to fear somebody. Do you want to go in flames, Mike? Do you want to burn, brother? The devil's coming after you. You better get saved. Well, good God Almighty, who wouldn't? But is it real? God, I don't want to go to hell, so I guess I'll get saved. Save me, Lord, save me. But when the Holy Spirit draws through his love and his grace, then Mike sees God as who he is. And then he can appreciate what he did. We follow God because we love God. I mean, yes, we fear God, but not in a way of everything we do wrong, we mash a button and we go down. It's a reverent fear, exactly right. It's a reverent fear of God. Not a fear that he's against us or he's going to beat us up or he's going to strike lightning. I mean, tend to this tractor, and all of a sudden this fear comes and, oh, God, he's going to strike me up. Oh, Lord, don't strike me. That's not the kind of fear we're talking about. Reverent fear of who he is. And so the love of God is what saves. The love of God is what heals. The love of God is what rescues. Sure, we talk to people about choices, and we let people know if they ask you, so where do I go if I don't accept Jesus? Well, you're lost. What does that mean? And we begin to talk to them about that, but not in a way that, that doesn't work, church. Fear doesn't stick because fear don't normally get in the inner man. Fear is something fear just don't stick. We got to have more than that. We got to have love. Our name is written in the Lamb's book of life, if you are a Christian. And I thank God mine's never going to be erased. It's there forevermore, and so is yours. So be happy and rejoice in your salvation every day. And remind people
my name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. This young man at the restaurant today was so bold with his faith, and I was just so proud, and just awesome. He was just so proud of what God had did, and just says, you know, he said, it's like my eyes were opened, and I can see now things I couldn't see before. It's called revelation come. The Holy Spirit reveals things. So rejoice. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and all your tears one day will be wiped away. No more sorrow, no more pain. Like the song that Melanie sings. We'll sing out for our benediction. Amazing grace, change or gone. Get that pulled up. We'll sing out for our benediction. But thank you all for coming out tonight, being with us, and appreciate that. Have a good week this week. Have a good week. Wake up and have a good week. Don't let things discourage you and pull you down. You're in the Lamb's Book of Life. What can stop you, man? You got the best of all. You got the best. Everything. I mean, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. Tell that to somebody at Walmart tomorrow when you're in there shopping. Hey, ma'am, guess what? I'm not going to die. Oh, okay. Okay. I'm coming, honey. We're not going to die. The destiny has been removed. And we've been given life. Hallelujah. Life. We'll have Melanie sing this little song. And I don't know, just in closing, I don't want to draw it out or make it long, but in closing, as she sings this song, if there's a need you have and just want to just have a moment to come up and pray before we close service, I'll give you a chance to do that tonight. The thunder's rolling, it's raining, and just if God's got something on your heart, you just need to release something, you want to come to the altar and just get something off your shoulders, maybe you want to repent for something, something's bogging you down, you just need peace, you need joy, you need answers, whatever it is. As she sings this song, I just want to open up the altar and just come up and pray and talk to God.
Well, and I want to say the young man James was talking about, he said that he knew, being that he has brought up his whole life as a Catholic and reading his Catholic Bible, he said that he knew he had been forgiven, but he said it was always with me. He said it was always there. So even though I knew by everything I read and everything that things should be forgiven in me of things I've done, he said I could never get rid of it. And he said once he started reading the Holy Bible, what we read, and not the Catholic version, he said then that's when he was able to find and get rid of, he was able to forgive and let it go.
Well, it's kind of the difference. It's kind of the law, isn't it? You know what the law was? Under the law, they knew they were forgiven if they brought the sacrifice, but yet it stayed with them. There wasn't like a lifting away. There was still that constant reminder in the law that I'm not really good enough. And then when he started reading the Bible and found out what Jesus did, he told me, so I started reading Matthew, and he said, I just started rolling with it and all these scriptures. Because, see, they have a Catholic Bible that's different than this Bible. Church, anytime anything different in this, just be careful. I mean, if somebody says, hey, man, there's this doctrine and so-and-so started, was his name Jesus Christ? No, I don't want to hear it. I mean, there's all kinds of names now, all kinds of movements, all kinds of things. And if any other name's used, man, you got to hear it. But this guy's got this theory. Is his name Jesus Christ? No, then don't listen to it. He is the original founder of the gospel. He's the original master. So be very careful. But as she sings this song, it's a pretty song about our chains being gone. If you need your chains gone tonight, just come up and just take a few, you know, it's Sunday night. It's a little more laid back tonight than this morning. And just come up and just talk to God a minute and say, Lord, I need my chains gone. I need to be set free. I'm tired of carrying this. And I'm asking you tonight to lift it off of my life. But I walk out of here free tonight. Just obey the Lord.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. In grace, my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Lord, we thank You for Your presence that's with us always. And we thank You for the hope we have in You, that there is so much more waiting on Your people than what we see now. We thank You for the price of the cross that we'll never understand how much it cost. We'll never experience what You experienced for us. But Lord, You made a way for us to have everlasting life. We have escaped death, hell, and the grave because of what You have done, that appointment You kept 2,000 years ago. For every heart in here that is heavy, for every mind that is battling, for every fear that's attached itself to these people, Lord, I take authority over that in the name of Jesus Christ. Authority over fear, authority over anxiety, authority over sickness, authority over disease, authority over anguish, authority over loss and grief and pain. You are the healer, the redeemer, the savior, the waymaker, the miracle worker. And Lord, we speak Your name and Your authority and Your deliverance and Your power over this people tonight. Declaring it, Lord, declaring mountains be moved and giants be slain, declaring that things are reconciled and things are healed, declaring peace of mind and joy of heart, declaring direction, declaring answers, Lord, declaring Your goodness and Your mercy in our lives, declaring those things by Your authority. We are overcomers. We are bought with a price. We are written in the Lamb's book of life. Nothing can change that.
We will not listen to the lie of the devil, but listen to the truth of your word. We are who you say we are. Bought not with things that are corruptible. We have a hope that is undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for us in heaven. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you, we are not born again with corruptible seed, but we're born again through your blood. Through your blood, immortal, imperishable forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the love and the mercy you showed us. And I speak delivering power that we leave here different, encouraged, uplifted. Breakthrough happens. We see your resolve in our lives, and we see things changed and moved and know it's you that did it, and give you praise for it in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The church said, amen.